What's up, everybody? It is the Hot Mike here on the Outlaw Nation channel, back live with you again to talk about all the things that are going on in the world of entertainment and some of the stuff they don't want you to know that's going on in the world of entertainment. That's why it's called the goddamn Hot Mike. You know what? I've got a diva on my hands, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff Snyder refuses to start the show until we have 200 viewers, which is why we were late by 3 minutes. So we crossed 200 viewers finally, and now we can start the show. I am the Outlaw John Rocha. That is Jeff Snyder. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm just dandy. Thanks, Johnny.
We got 225 of you joining us right now, so make sure you hit a like on this video as we start this episode. There's a lot that Jeff Snyder is going to be talking about here on the show. There's a lot we are going to be talking about here on the show. So get ready to be, be getting your tongues wagging on social media, aggregate all this stuff. But also, more than anything else, remember to send in your Streamlabs and your Super Chats as we're going along. Super important to do that as we get going. If you want to get your stuff answered before the end of the show, you know, we keep it a tight hour and 15. You want to get them in now. So, Jeff, you got a lot going on. You teased some stuff here. You put a DC logo up about 95 minutes ago before the start of this show, or 98 minutes ago. So what are your thoughts here? Where do you want to start? What are you feeling? What's the deal?
All right. I'm going to give it a little bit more time to tune in. So we're going to start by me clarifying last week's report on the PTA movie. I got a little bit more information.
All right.
Okay. So here's the PTA update. And I think this is coming from a decent source.
Okay.
I think all the sourcing this week is in general stronger, just to let you guys know.
Okay.
So I feel like the reason that wires are getting crossed with the PTA stuff is that he actually has multiple projects.
Oh, okay.
And I think that one is that father-daughter story with Leonardo DiCaprio that will depend on whether Leo wants to commit and do it, right?
Right.
And then there's a backup plan in the event that he doesn't, right? In case you can't get Leo. And so what I'm told, John, and you may find this interesting, is I'm told that this other project, and this might be where MTG fits into things, right? Yeah. That this other project actually involves veterans in their 50s.
Wow. Okay.
So maybe the veterans in their 50s thing is sort of the GOP project that I'd heard of or whatever. Maybe these veterans, maybe MTG is involved in that. But that is what I'm told that PTA has. He has the father-daughter thing and then a project around revolving around veterans in their 50s.
What would they be veterans of? The Gulf War? What would they be veterans of, right? Because, I mean, Vietnam was five decades ago. So it wouldn't be necessarily Vietnam. So it would have to be, if they're in their 50s, it would have to be Gulf War type of stuff that would be involved here, right?
I think that would, you know, make sense on the timeline. So I just wanted to clarify last week's, because there was some confusion and someone did come forth with just a little bit more information.
Okay.
Now we can do the DC thing. So the DC thing I am like 100% on.
Okay. Ooh, this is big. I don't hear these things. Jeff doesn't like to tell me. He likes to be had a natural reaction while we're on the show. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to say here. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. I preface this by saying that the following project was commissioned by Walter Hamada.
Okay.
It was, as far as I know, never reported.
Wow.
And so as of this minute, the project is in development at DC. Now, could these guys get called in next week or whatever and said, you know, that we're going to kill it? Possibly. Or could it just be put on pause, you know, for the moment? Yes. But this was the project that I'd heard has never been reported, and there are multiple drafts of it up at Warner Brothers.
Okay.
I'm told that Daniel Casey, the writer of Fast 9, wrote a Batman Beyond movie.
Yes.
But the catch wasn't that it was live action, because that was what Christina Hodson was working on.
Yeah.
It was an animated Batman Beyond movie intended to be the DC's answer to Into the Spider-Verse.
Wow.
So,
okay.
I don't know if James, you know, because James Gunn, you know, I was in the room and everything, right? And they explained that James Gunn, he's overseeing film, television, and that includes, yeah, you know, the comics and animation as well. It's all going to be part of one thing. So there's a total possibility that that's not where James Gunn is looking to do. You know, that's not what he's looking to do with Batman. There's not going to be any Batman Beyond animated movie.
Yeah. But
the fact is that Dan Casey wrote multiple drafts of this movie, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And it has never been reported on. And it has technically not, no one involved in that project has been told it's dead yet.
Yeah. Wow. So what do you think? They're keeping it as a backup, and you know, because you've got Brave and Bold, you've got the Batman, the Matt Reeves series continuing. God knows what else he's got, and we've got this Flashpoint movie coming in just a few months. So do you think this was, they're just keeping this on the back burner for now? They're not killing it just yet, just in case this stuff starts to pick up steam, all the James Gunn stuff, and then you can throw this in on top of the mix and really kind of counter what Sony was doing with Into the Spider-Verse. Is that the kind of thinking, do you think, in this kind of a situation, or is it just kind of sitting there now and they're never going to do it?
I'm not entirely sure. Do I have high hopes for it? No. Yeah. I imagine that this is something that probably is not going to fit in with the new regime's plan.
Right.
You know, which is, I think that's fair. Again, why would James Gunn want to use stuff that Walter Hamada was sort of planning?
Yeah, right.
But do I still think it's newsworthy that DC under Hamada was at one point planning to do, you know, an animated movie in that kind of style using storyline? Absolutely, yes.
Wow. Wow. That would have been interesting. It would have looked a little bit like you're trying to copy somebody else. But then again, there's so many Batman. To be able to bring them back, to be able to go to multiple different universes of Batman, I think would be very fascinating. And certainly DC has trucked in multiple universes for numerous decades. So the idea that DC could do that through its arguably number one beloved character in the Batman, kind of like I think Spider-Man is for Marvel, that would have been the way to go. And I think a lot of people would have been very excited to see that happen, because you wonder who's going to voice what characters, and are any of the people who played the characters live action going to come back to voice those? Because one of the things that Spider-Man No Way Home did really well was kind of redeem the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. It also redeemed that third Spider-Man 3. We got to fall back in love with Tobey Maguire. We got to fall back in love with Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. And now there's rumors that both of them are going to get sequels to their current, to their stories that had seemed pretty much dead for the rest of our times. So maybe this could have been an interesting way to kind of bring not Val Kilmer, but maybe his son Jack Kilmer, who does a great job imitating his voice or doing his voice, and even George Clooney possibly back to do a version of his Batman.
Where are you getting this from? Yes, anything could happen. Anything could happen up at the DCU. You're throwing out stuff. I don't know where you're getting it, but
I'm saying that that could have been a way to go about it if they actually went through with this in an animated way.
Sure, I guess. Anyways. So that is what is cooking over at DC. Okay. Now, on the Marvel side, John, you mentioned Spider-Man, as I did on Twitter yesterday. You know, someone, one of these anonymous scooper accounts who claims to know all, says that Tom Holland's didn't end up in the Across the Spider-Verse movie.
Right.
Now, if that's the case, that's the case. I throw these things out there as rumors. You know, that was a theory as to why there was the additional year-long delay, right?
Yeah.
Now, leaving that aside, and I know this has been rumored as well. This is much like the other thing that we discussed the other week that, like, has been rumored out there.
Yeah.
And then I say it, and then suddenly it becomes confirmation. That's not the case. But I am told, you know, there's been a lot of speculation as to what Sydney Sweeney's role is going to be, like, you know, in the Marvel Universe, right?
Because
she's Madame Web. So I'm told that she is, you know, as rumored, I guess, playing Spider-Woman.
Ooh. Interesting. Okay.
Now, there are a couple different Spider-Women. I think it was rumored to play the second one. What is it? Sabrina or something? Yeah. Carpenter? I don't know.
Yes.
I'm not one of these comic book geeks, but I think that Sydney Sweeney is a great choice for a big role like that. Obviously, you know, she's huge with Euphoria. It sounds like she has real acting chops. She's getting great reviews for that movie, Reality, where she plays Reality Winner. It got acquired by HBO. You know, she is not just a pretty face. I think it's easy to dismiss her, you know, with just the way that she's kind of sexualized on that show. Yeah. And we're going to talk more about Sam Levinson and Euphoria and that kind of stuff coming up. But yeah, if she, you know, I am told reliably that she is playing Spider-Woman, and that I don't know if it's like, it's interesting to think, like, is Olivia Wilde going to still direct that Spider-Woman movie, or is it going to end up being somebody else? But either way, I think, that it's going to end up being Sydney Sweeney front and center.
Yeah. You've got Jessica Drew, you've got Julia Carpenter, Maddie Franklin, Charlotte Witter, Veronica. Of course, Gwen Stacy in a version has played her. Even Mary Jane Watson has donned the Spider-Woman gear in the past. So an interesting choice to go with Sydney Sweeney. As you said, this is a woman who is establishing herself as an actress. I think White Lotus as well, right? She was in White Lotus.
Yeah,
so
she was great. She was really good.
Yeah, so she's a good actress here. Kind of like Amanda Seyfried a little bit. Like people initially write her off because she's blonde and beautiful, got those big blue eyes and whatever, but she's actually a damn good actress, as we saw in The Dropout. So seeing Sydney Sweeney kind of taken on this role, and I wonder if Madame Web is going to launch her into a Spider-Woman series and what have you, because they still don't have a Spider-Man in the Sony universe live action, Jeff. There still hasn't been anything kind of locked down about what they're going to do on the Sony side of things. So you might as well get a Spider-Woman and see if maybe you can have her going up against things like Venom or Carnage or whoever you want to draw up there on the Sony side of things to have some fun with that. So that's not a bad idea. And we're going to get Spider-Woman, a version of Spider-Woman, in Across the Spider-Verse as well. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out and fits into the overall worlds that they're creating on Sony.
And who knows with, again, this multiverse stuff. It's like, could a Spider-Woman movie become a Spider-Women movie? And it could be, you know, Julia Carpenter, whoever, teaming up with Jessica Drew or something. I don't know. But I just remember, and again, some people always thought that she was playing Spider-Woman, but there was also speculation about, is she playing Black Cat or, you know, something like that. So, yeah, I have it on good authority that she'll be Spider-Woman.
Interesting.
Okay. There's a couple of other things before we get to the regular news.
Sure.
Well, I wanted to talk about MGM.
Let's finish the point of Olivia Wilde. Do you, Jeff Snyder, as an analyst of the industry, as an objective observer at times of the industry, do you think that Olivia Wilde, after all the drama with Florence Pugh, after all the drama on that movie, I don't even remember the name of the movie anymore, do you think that she will, that it's going to die down and she will come back to direct Spider-Woman? Do you think this will happen?
It's a good question. Someone else asked me the other day, like, is Olivia Wilde done? And I was like, no, I don't think Olivia Wilde is done. I think it's, she's too talented for that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so she stumbled. A lot of filmmakers have stumbled, right?
Sure.
And you get back up on the horse. And Don't Worry, Darling was like still a good-looking movie. I thought it was directed. It was just the script was a total mess.
Right.
So I would have to say that, yes, if I was Sony, I would keep Olivia Wilde around. If I was Olivia Wilde, I would try to stick around.
Yeah.
I mean, her Carrie Strug movie, Perfect, sounded interesting, and that might be like the antidote to all this.
Yeah.
You know, if that's not ready to go or whatever, or, you know, I mean, there's a lot of pre-pro time needed for a big Spider-Woman movie. And I keep coming back to this tidbit. So
yeah.
My brother works in Boston real estate, okay?
Okay.
And they obviously film a lot of stuff in Boston. In fact, they just like new studios. And I remember when these studios opened, and this was like a year and a half ago, and someone had said, this may have even been before the Wilde announcement, that there was going to be a Spider-Woman shooting in Boston in 2024.
Wow.
Now, listen, you could tell that the owners of those kinds of studios, all kinds of stuff, they don't know what they're hearing. You know, they don't even, Spider-Woman could have meant Spider-Man, could have meant, you know, something in the Spider-Man world. But that's what I'd always heard, that there was going to be a Spider-Woman movie shooting in 2024. Now, Madame Web comes out in February 2024, right? Next February.
Right.
So it would make sense that they'd, you know, want to have the next movie sort of up and running shortly after that. Like maybe, you know, shooting next summer in Boston.
Interesting. Okay. All right. I mean, I see some people commenting about Olivia Wilde saying she's not going to direct or whatever. You guys are idiots. Like, there are issues sometimes with directors, but someone like Olivia Wilde, who is a force of nature and will not take no for an answer, will find her way back into a project. And as Jeff said, if the Carrie Strug thing gets off the ground, there is nothing that redeems you more in the eyes of human beings on this planet in the USA than wrapping yourself in an American flag and doing a film about an American hero like Carrie Strug at the Olympics.
Oscar project for her. So
yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't, if I was Olivia Wilde, I wouldn't sweat it. And as Peter points out, Madame Web did shoot in Boston. So maybe that's where those rumors are coming in, you know, if they continued, you know, with that sort of same visual palette.
Fucking Boston. All right. Well, there we go. All right, cool. Yeah. I like this idea.
All right. So we've touched a little DC. We've touched a little Marvel, Marvel adjacent. Let's talk about MGM.
Okay. What do you got for MGM?
This was something that we couldn't fit into the show last week. And it's like, if you pay attention to these MGM announcements, Amazon, a lot of Amazon stuff, they all have like this name, Nick Pepper, in them. Like, this guy's really putting his name out there. I feel like a few months ago, I had no idea who the fuck Nick Pepper was.
Yeah.
Now he's like, you know, part of almost all, every tip I get practically out of Amazon. And keep in mind, you know, this is the same source who's been right about Day of the Triffids and Warhammer 40,000, you know. So, you know, someone who's sort of plugged into Amazon. But so there's been a lot of conversation. What, you know, now that they have MGM, what are they going to prioritize in the library? And everybody's like, Bond. Right. Listen, that's going to happen regardless. That's a Broccoli Wilson thing. Amazon can't touch Bond. They can't just do what they want with Bond. So that's off limits on a shelf that no one is allowed to touch. I have six properties that I'm told that they are prioritizing.
Wow.
One has already been reported.
Okay.
One, and that is Stargate.
Yes.
Stargate, I think they there's already been an announcement about something in development about Stargate. Mm-hmm. But so that's one. Thomas Crown is another.
Ooh, right now, we know another version of the Thomas Crown Affair?
Right. Now, Michael B. Jordan's been developing like a Thomas Crown Affair remake for a long time.
Right.
I don't know if they're like, you know, kind of shit or get off the pot kind of situation or what the deal is there.
Yeah.
I could see that as a series, as like a limited series.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Why not? That would be great. Absolutely.
All right, so Stargate, Thomas Crown, Legally Blonde is another.
Okay.
And again, Legally Blonde 3 has been in the works, right?
Right.
But it's been taking a while. You know?
Okay.
So I don't know if that's like a Reese thing or if they just can't get the script right or if it's like, listen, it's time to introduce the next Elle Woods kind of thing and we're going to do a Legally Blonde series. Again, Amazon's real big on series more than it is movies.
Right.
Right. And
certainly Michael B has done the series on the Prime Video side last year. Yeah. So it's possible. Yeah.
Although keep in mind, this week they finally made an official that Courtney Valenti is coming over from Warner Brothers to run film at Amazon MGM. And she was installed over Julie Rappaport, which, you know, all due respect to Julie, I think makes sense. Mm-hmm. Courtney Valenti has been around for 30 years.
Yeah.
Julie's like in her 30s. So those are three properties. The other three are a little bit bigger.
Okay.
The other three are Rocky.
Stop.
And we're going to talk about Creed 3.
You're going to talk about, are you talking about a Rocky prequel series? Is that what we're talking about here?
I don't know what we're talking about. Okay. All I'm told is that MGM, right, has this Rocky property.
Yes.
Could there end up being a Creed 4? Sure, especially with Creed 3 supposed to open pretty well. But let's just say it's a trilogy, right?
Okay.
Well, now, like, what do you even with Creed? Like, Rocky's not even in Creed 3.
He's mentioned once.
Is he mentioned? Shit.
Once.
I got to change the lead for my LA Mag review because I wasn't sure. I didn't hear that reference.
Okay. If you didn't hear it, go with your own instincts. Don't listen to me.
You're saying he was mentioned, then he was mentioned. But what my point is that Rocky is one of the great characters in cinema. And he's sitting on a shelf over there.
Yeah.
And you bet your ass that not only do they want to exploit him, right?
Right.
But Winkler and Sylvester want to exploit him too.
But that how can that
Stallone's been bitching about?
He's like, but how can that be if Stallone is bitching about the fact that he doesn't have control of the character and have investment in the character? Do you think the vitriol he has spilled? I mean, going after a person's son, do you think this will mend the bridges enough to create a prequel Rocky series with Sylvester Stallone's approval?
What always mends the bridges, John?
Money.
Yes. That is always the answer. So I do think that something will happen with Rocky, whether it's with Stallone, whether it is with, they basically recast Rocky Balboa, right?
Yeah.
Something's going to happen with those rights. He's not just going to sit there. Damn. There are two others. Okay. I'm going to save the best for last, but the other one is Poltergeist.
Ooh.
All complicated right. by the fact that Spielberg would likely need to be involved in it.
Yeah, as an EP. Okay.
But Poltergeist, I mean, what is the hottest genre right now?
Horror, sure.
Horror. Yeah. And MGM comes with, I'm sure they've got all kinds of stuff. I don't know if they have Amityville or whatever, mm-hmm. but Poltergeist is their big horror thing.
Yeah. Right?
And so I think that they're going to take full advantage of that. It seems like another movie is not the way to go. Like if you're doing Poltergeist, do a series, do a fucking Poltergeist series. I think that could be really interesting.
Sure.
And the other one I think that you'd have to do a series for, because the movies at this point are just cooked.
Yeah.
The series could really work, especially with Amazon's audience, right? When you think about the shows that they make, Reacher, The Terminalist, The Boys, Invincible, and that is RoboCop.
Ooh.
I think eventually you'll see a RoboCop series in the works at Amazon. That's what I would do if I was them. But those are the six properties that they are looking to prioritize.
Those are great choices if that's what they're going to go for. I mean, the RoboCop thing, you can update that real easily considering what's going on out in our streets right now, the changes in our perceptions of what we think is happening versus what we thought was happening. There's so much to explore. The idea of corporate greed, manipulating the news, manipulating the evidence, manipulating what you hear, what you don't hear, and the idea of taking a guy who was, almost dead and putting him into a situation without his knowledge or consent to be this thing. What could be explored here? The remake was okay. It wasn't great. So, and it had a lot of good actors in it, but it didn't quite hit the mark. So a series that explores this in a more in-depth way, I think would be absolute genius. And if you cast it right, you get the right showrunner, people would be dialing into this thing big time.
Again, this is what I'm told that these are the projects that Nick Pepper wants to get his hands on. So this isn't I'm sure Courtney Valenti, now that she's over there, wants to also exploit the library, on the feature side.
Yeah.
The question is, they're going to have to talk to the TV side and come to some sort of decision or figure out with Jen Psaki what should be a movie and what should be TV. Again, Amazon is giving Air a big push, the Ben Affleck movie. So they're testing the waters on what a wide theatrical release would look like and everything.
Yeah.
I don't really think that's been their bag up till now. These are all branded IPs, though, that they haven't had access to. So maybe they want to go big and do movies, but it's I don't know, man. You could do another RoboCop movie that might do okay, or you could do a series that kind of becomes I've never seen this sort of thing before.
Yeah, yeah. That's an excellent point for sure.
Anyways, so that's it.
Do you have any extra stuff to add to any of these? Have you heard any rumblings about showrunners, casting, approaches? No. None of that stuff. Okay.
No, all the stuff is still up in the air. They're still figuring out, what do we have here in MGM? What do we want to do with it? And how do we want to do it? And who do we want to do it with?
I mean, this idea. Yeah. Oh, that's a great suggestion, Peter. Matt Fraction would be great to get on it. I loved his Hawkeye. So why not? I mean,
they have Matt Fraction in Amazon. That's what, they signed him to an overall deal, I believe. So,
yeah. So why not put him on that? It looks good. The Rocky thing gives me pause. So we go, I like what you said. I didn't even think about the fact that we would just go forward with Rocky. Creed giving him, Adonis giving him the fist bump at the end of Rocky 2, or Creed 2 is essentially the end of their relationship necessarily in where Creed is going. So is he back to being Mickey Goldmill and training other boxers at the gym? Are we doing a whole series? He was great in Tulsa King, got a lot of good reviews, got a lot of good reaction from people who are Stallone fans, and he fit perfectly in that series. Would a series about Rocky exploring and training and going through the stuff he's going through, would that be an interesting, would you get Milo to come in and do occasional guest star appearances as his son? Would Michael B come on for an episode or two? Could be very interesting to explore all of that with Sylvester Stallone. Because if you do Young Rocky, I don't know if it makes sense. Why do I want to see a palooka breaking legs and collecting for Gazzo. It doesn't make sense to me to see that. And we have no Adrian, which is really the magic of Rocky, is that relationship. So I don't know how you could make it work without her.
I don't know. I mean,
all right, I'm just throwing that out there. All right.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, why don't we take a quick break, Jeff, now that we've dropped all those huge news, and we'll jump into a little more regular news here right after this. All right, let's get into it here. And we should say before we get forward, the show itself here is brought to you and sponsored by Above the Line. If you like the rumors and the scoops that Jeff Snyder drops when he comes on the show every week, make sure you head over to AboveTheLine.com and read him and his team of writers and the stuff that they're doing, the reviews, the breakdown, the analysis, the columns, Neil Turret stuff as well. There's all kinds of stuff you can enjoy there and get educated about the business. So head on over to AboveTheLine.com and make them a daily stop on your perusing of entertainment websites to get your information about what's going on. We have a stream live, a few stream lives that came through here. Jeff, let's answer them real quick. Peter can't talk right now. Said, "What's up, fellas? I'm back." Jeff, any word on what the timeline for the DC shows Gunn has announced, like Lanterns and Paradise Lost? Would they come before or after Superman? And any word on writers, showrunners of any of those? Look, that's $2 you gave. So, Jeff, give him a $2 answer. Give him a $2.
Lanterns and the other one, I think those are definitely after Superman. There was the chance that Waller and Creature Commandos or whatever could be before Superman. That was a possibility. But
okay.
I think Lanterns would be after.
That's what you get for $2, Peter. Nancy Mallory says, "Hi, John and Jeff. Chris Pine mentioned in an interview that the Star Trek film franchise is dead. Do you agree, and what should Paramount do with the franchise?" This is, I actually have this pulled up because I was looking at this as well as a big Star Trek fan. We do the Picard reviews on the channel, me and Mike Vogel here. But Chris Pine was talking about this. He said in this interview, I think it was with Esquire, it's a new cover story that's out. They asked him about the new Star Trek movie. He said, "I don't know anything. In Star Trek land, the actors are usually the last people to find out anything. I know costume designers that have read the scripts before the actors do." He said the actor staying out of the loop is very frustrating. It doesn't really foster the greatest sense of partnership, but it's how it's always been. I love the character, love the people, love the franchise, but to try to change the system in which things are created, I just can't do it. I don't have the energy. So he's saying he's just worried about how this is going to, and the expectations of it trying to cross $1 billion. And he feels like the Star Trek franchise is a bit cursed on the movie side of things. So what's your reaction to this and answer to this question here, Jeff?
My answer is take a shovel and get some dirt and bury it.
Wow. But it's doing so well with Picard, with Star Trek Strange Worlds.
That's all television. That's great. You know, I mean, Star Trek is not $1 billion franchise. It never was. It's really be lucky to be a $500 million franchise. I think that you reboot this.
Recast?
Yes. No, yes. 100 million percent. You get rid of all these people. I mean, it's not that, like, Chris Pine was good. Chris Pine was good in the role.
He was great as
the Carter. Problem is that Chris Pine doesn't put butts in seats.
Yeah.
And I've told Paramount this. You know, Paramount's like, "So we're going to see you at Dungeons and Dragons this month." And I was like, "Fuck no, you're not going to see me there." And good luck. I just don't think. I like Chris Pine. I saw him on stage, and he was great. Yeah. He really showed me his chops. I haven't seen those chops really on the big screen so much. No, I think you have to reboot, especially after. I mean, without Anton, it's just weird. It's different.
Been too long to even like have a ceremony or a funeral or whatever for him, like they did with Leia. Or like they did in Wakanda Forever, it's been too long, so you wouldn't even get a chance to offer him a tribute in the next installment.
Start over. That last movie was horrible.
It was not good.
You just blow it up. What is the point? It's not like you have like huge movie stars. I mean, Zoe Saldana is obviously a huge movie star.
Right.
It's not the cast. The cast, I don't think, is the problem. It's just that it's just like the DC. You just need a clean slate.
Yeah.
You just need to wipe away the chessboard.
It's tough because go ahead and call Mance Merle, Inman, and AVR about knock yourself out. I mean, it's you're looking at the box office.
Call the Star Trek fans and ask what they think of Star Trek, guys. I give you the straight shit, guys, because I can put my fandom aside.
Well, I also feel it's a bit offensive. Zeno doesn't think I'm a Star Trek fan to be a part of this, but I agree. I mean, maybe it is about cutting your losses here, doing a full recast. They already recast Kirk in Strange New Worlds. So you can, it is like you've broken the cherry a couple of times now. So it looks like you can go ahead and find another Kirk, find another Spock, McCoy, another Uhura and what have you, and see what you can explore there in this newer version of it. So yeah, I'm down with it. If they can make it work, get the right people behind it. I agree. It doesn't make sense to keep going with Pine. So yeah. And it's not, I mean, what do we have to ask them? If we know the box offices for Star Trek have never crossed $1 billion, it's a legitimate thing to be talking about.
Let's talk about another thing that they should pull the plug on, okay?
Okay.
David Zaslav's up there at Warner Brothers pulling the plug on shit left and right.
Okay.
And meanwhile, how much money is he dropping on this Dune the Sisterhood series starring what was going to star Shirley Henderson and like, who else is it?
I don't know who else was in this.
Emily Watson. Again, Emily Watson and Shirley Henderson, both very, very good actresses.
Yes.
Who is watching that show? What? What guys, again, want to watch something called The Sisterhood? It's the women talking problem all over again. I'm sorry. That's just the truth. And that's just been like, that's a general like thing that Hollywood believes, that women will watch men's stuff, but men will not watch women's stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's not always true, though. It doesn't hold.
It's not always true.
Right.
A bunch of men are going to go see Barbie this summer. I'm curious about Barbie.
Captain Marvel made $1.something billion. Wonder Woman made $700-something million. So
it's not a hard and fast rule, but in general, are you telling me your dad's going to sit there and watch Dune the Sisterhood?
Well, my dad's passed away, but no, he wouldn't have watched
it. In general, is dear old dad going to watch Dune the Sisterhood? No.
No. Well, I mean, Shirley Henderson has exited the project.
Right. She's out.
And so has Johan Renck, who was there, who was supposed to direct the first two episodes. He's a Chernobyl executive producer, so he's out now.
He's doing Day of the Triffids now, which is wild to go from like HBO Max and working with the folks, you know, on that, like in Legendary, and now you're working with Don Murphy and Day of the Triffids.
Diana Demujohn, who had written the pilot script, she stepped down as co-showrunner. So it's just weird that you're trying to make this happen. Maybe they made it, let it be known that they want to put more effort into this series. And so they want to bring people in who they think are going to get eyes on this series, different actresses who are much more well-known than Shirley Henderson. We're not talking talent. We're talking bring people in. Maybe that's the path they want to go down, or this is the slow death of this series. Cause maybe they don't.
And that's what I turned on Dune. It's like, if she, you know, if they do press forward and everything, I think they have to get a bigger name than Shirley Henderson. They need to like put a little like, you know, cast muscle into this thing.
Yeah.
Just because, again, you don't know if Dune as a concept is enough.
Yeah.
You just put every fucking star in Hollywood in the movie.
Yeah.
Right. It's Chalamet and Zendaya and Oscar Isaac and Josh Brolin and Momoa and everybody's in it. Batista.
Yeah.
You take all these people out. Like, then how does Dune perform?
It's a fair point.
So I'm not so sure about whether this is a good idea.
Right.
Not just because it's a female fronted show or whatever, but it's a big investment. And they lost Johan Renck, and they've just, I don't know, man. It seems like why pull the plug on Westworld and then put all that money into this?
Yeah, look, it's a stable of good actresses. Emily Watson, Indira Varma, Sarah Sophie Busnina, Shalom Brune Franklin. These are I don't say well-known actresses, but certainly actresses you might have seen in some stuff. Maybe like Indira Varma.
But who are the other two? What?
Right, exactly. Yeah, fair point. Mark Strong's in this as well. So, but yeah, at the end of the day, you got to decide if you want what you want to do with this one way or the other. And I wonder if they're on the hiatus, and I wonder if that means they're going to kill this thing or keep it going. But that's a fair point.
And that's the thing. It's been on hiatus since November. It would just be so easy to be like, listen, we're not doing this, especially if they end up having to recast a whole bunch of parts on the show because of the scheduling delays. Scheduling is in fact delayed 7 months. Again, you can put a bunch of no names in Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings because those are huge properties. I just don't think Dune is on that level.
Yeah, fair point. I'm Two Fly Cam says, hello, fellas. What's going on with this Ant-Man box office? I saw some experts saying it could underperform the first Ant-Man at this rate. Is the MCU dominance really headed to the end? Also, I really appreciate the honest back and forth you both have. Yeah, Jeff, people wrote a bunch of articles crowing about the end of Marvel domination of the box office, that Ant-Man had a terrible return in the second weekend, one of the largest drops or the largest drop for any MCU film. I mean, people try to factor in the storms and the snow and all of this affecting the box office, but I feel like if there was snow or storm during Spider-Man No Way Home, people would have crawled to the theater in the water to see that movie. That's the difference there. So you tell me, do you think this is much ado about nothing, or do you think this does signal a sea change here in Marvel, or is it an indictment on the film overall and Marvel just moves on?
I think it's the latter. I think, because listen, I was surprised by the opening. The opening was big.
Yeah.
The opening showed that there was no fatigue.
Yeah.
Okay. But the performance of the film shows that this is not acceptable.
Yeah. Right.
Audiences are not going to accept this fucking garbage.
Yeah.
Basically what it was.
Okay. I don't agree, but okay.
And so that is, and I think Kevin Feige has to get that message loud and clear. Like, I don't understand how you can take away anything else other than that, or how Jeff Loveness, the screenwriter, I mean, people vote with their wallets.
Yeah.
It dropped 72% because word of mouth sucks, because people saw it and said, you know, told their friends, wait for Disney Plus.
It's weird because the cinema score wasn't bad, and the audience score,
wasn't it?
It was a B, yeah, B plus. It wasn't great.
That's but not the, good.
The audience score was pretty high if you look at Rotten Tomatoes. So what was going on here in the conversation? You know, people talk all the time, no one listens to critics anymore, no one listens to reviews anymore. But if the score is low on a review side of things and the critic side of things, it's rare that a film actually overperforms or does well. So were people listening to more than just their friends? Were they actually listening to critics? Were they saying, like, I don't want to go see this thing, I don't want to have it? You know, what do you think at the end of it? Do you think it was just word of mouth from people who've gone to see it? That was enough to kind of kill the box office all around? You really think that's the number one reason?
People who normally go to see the movie twice in opening weekend, or they go back the following weekend, they didn't come back.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, no. If you make a good movie, you'll get good receipts. I mean, at least if it's a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Films, but right.
And Seattle, this is, you're off base. January and February. January maybe still a dead zone. February, not a dead zone anymore. You can make money in Black Panther, Deadpool. You can make money in February if you make a good superhero film. People will come to see it. You know, look how good Avatar did through January and February, and that was dropped only halfway through December. So people will go to the theater. It's just you got to put product out there that people actually want to go see. So not necessarily dead zones as they used to be. We've got another one that came through here from Micah. Says, do you see WB suing Amazon like they're suing Paramount over South Park? THR's recent story revealed that Warner's feels that Amazon is blurring the lines between the movies and the show. Your thoughts on this? Jeff?
Anything? I mean, it definitely feels like, you know, maybe Paramount is using a bit of like a loophole.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but like that's what loopholes are there for. You know, I liked reading about and all the Yellowstone of it all. Like,
oh, yeah.
That show on CBS, because CBS shows stream directly on Paramount Plus, and that's a way to avoid having to fulfill the Peacock of it all. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Credit to Paramount, I guess, in some weird fucked up way. Someone, though, what did they say it was like in retaliation for? There was something a couple of years ago that Paramount and Warner Brothers locked horns over.
Wow. I'm
forgetting what it was.
Okay. I don't remember either.
Okay, I'm gonna come back to you on it.
Okay, all right. Sounds good. All right, we got a couple other ones that came through here. Amped265 says, what about the Tom Holland, Sam Mendes rumor? Anything new? I think we talked about that earlier, didn't we, Jeff? Or do you have something more to say on this?
Yeah, I don't have anything new, no.
Okay, all right. Mike, also, thoughts? Is Isabella Merced has been cast alongside Kaylee Spaney in the new Alien movie for Hulu. Is Disney releasing this on Hulu just so it doesn't have to stream on HBO Max, given the Fox/HBO deal? Yeah, what do you think about that, Jeff? Or are they trying to take advantage of, like, the Prey hype of what happened for that film? Do they think they're going to have the same kind of reaction if they keep it on Hulu here?
The question was what exactly
is Disney releasing this on Hulu so it doesn't have to stream on HBO Max given the Fox HBO deal?
No, I don't think that's really the case.
I agree.
I mean, I think it's very rare where you're going to see people try to play keep away and things like that. I just think that's where, you know, a lot of these Fox movies are going is Hulu. And I'm sure that this one will have a lower budget than something like Prometheus or Covenant. It's not going to be so, you know, wide epic scale like that, but it doesn't mean it can't be just as good.
Yeah.
As evidenced by Prey. All right. The Warner Brothers Paramount thing. I know. Okay. It was that Paramount refused to let Henry Cavill shave his mustache.
Oh, right.
Right. And so Warner Brothers had to spend millions of dollars on removing it for Justice League. Right. So this may be their little poke in the eye back at Paramount for that unnecessary expense.
You sons of bitches. One last one. I'm Two Fly Cam says, Jeff is correct. Branding matters. The reason you see marketers become more diverse in their ads is to appeal to as many people as possible. Doing the sisterhood, I would watch, but most guys probably would not. Probably, but women are becoming a strong financial part of this whole piece. And I know, Jeff, you said, you know, women will go see men's stuff more than men will see women's stuff. And I hear that. I understand that. But I think women are becoming, you know, we're seeing the transition here of women and how they're using their money, how they're using what they're patronizing. And it's changing from what it used to be before. So sometimes I think a few more years and we're going to see women become much more of a financial powerhouse in deciding what gets made and what doesn't get made.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that men won't watch it. I mean, women may very well watch it. Like, you know, I may have said years ago, women aren't going to watch a Dune sci-fi thing. Women aren't into sci-fi. That's obviously false.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think that men have suddenly changed overnight. And I just don't think that they're going to watch a lot of things called the sisterhood.
Okay. Fair enough.
Which is why, by the way.
But isn't the Handmaid's Tale doing gangbusters? That's a fucking female oriented show.
That's right. Do a lot of men watch The Handmaid's Tale?
I think so, dude. I think so.
Don't think so.
Your girlfriends make them watch.
Hold on. I want to bring up the deadline Dean thing because I bet you it's gonna have exactly what I thought.
Okay. All
right. Deadline Dune Sisterhood. 1 second.
As Jeff is doing that, please remember, we've got 500 of you watching right now. Hit that subscribe button right now on this channel. Subscribe and bell button and send in your Streamlabs and Super Chats. We got about 20, 30 minutes left in the show. Do it now. Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead. Yeah.
See that? You see that WT?
Yeah.
Working title.
Oh.
It's a working title.
That means
it's going to change. I thought that was what I remembered from that deadline story. I was like, all of a sudden, that's a working title? Okay.
All right. Princess Positive says, okay, man, show of hands, who watches stuff that stars women? Well, I do, but...
I do, too. It's not that. It's a general thing. People, oh, my God.
She's just asking. She's just asking. Relax. No one's trying to get you in trouble. Let's see what happens. All right. Anyway, let's keep going here. What do you want to jump into next, Jeff? You want to do the preview?
Talk about the Rolling Stone thing.
Let's do it. Yeah. The Otto controversy. So this, just to give you the particulars, I've got the particulars here. The whole thing, this kind of blew up. Rolling Stone. Go ahead, Jeff. You want to talk about it?
Give me the particulars. I want the particulars.
All right. Rolling Stone did an article here where they broke down and spoke about what was happening on this show. The Idol that is coming on HBO, and it is from Sam Levinson and from The Weeknd. This was centered originally around a troubled starlet who was falling victim to a predatory industry figure and fighting to reclaim her own agency. There's that buzzword, agency. But this report, Rolling Stone said they spoke to 13 crew members who claimed that the show was originally set to be a feminist look at how the entertainment industry takes advantage of women, but was subjected to a total overhaul in April of 2022, which included the original director, Amy Simons, who was also an actress, leaving due to a contractual obligation. Sam Levinson and The Weeknd took over and created what one source described to the magazine as, quote, a rape fantasy that, quote, went from satire to the thing it was satirizing. And this was a pretty, like, 13 crew members weighing in and talking about this, some of them claiming that Simons was set up to fail in this situation. What's his face responded, The Weeknd responded, with a clip from the show making fun of Rolling Stone, which got destroyed on social media. Sam Levinson, according to this report here, was apparently swaggering around the set saying HBO's not going to fire me no matter what I do on this show because they want that season three of Euphoria. So I have carte blanche here. Don't know if it's true, but that's what they, some of the sources were claiming. So Jeff, you read all of this, you see all the controversy, you know where I tweeted about it. So I know what side I'm on. Where are you at on all of this?
As an editor, as an editor of a publication, I thought it was a good story.
Yeah, it
was. I messaged Cheyenne and said, good job. And she did do a good job. It was very thorough.
Yes, it was.
As a reader, it's a different take. And it's just like, listen, like here's an example of what I'm talking about. Marlo Stern, who's now the editor of Rolling Stone and everything, he tweets, crew members claim that Blackpink's Jennie has barely any airtime in the idol and an inconsequential story arc. It was like 3 or 4 lines per episode for her. They didn't let her talk that much. Her job was to sit there and look pretty, basically.
Okay.
Now, that's supposed to be used as an indictment of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, and I don't mean to, you know, I love actors.
Okay.
I spend my life reporting on actors.
Okay.
Half the actors in this town, their job is to sit there and look pretty.
Wow.
That is the job for half of these people. Are we trying to pretend that it's not?
I would not say half of the town is just supposed to sit there.
A third of the town is just there to be a pretty face. Okay. I mean, holy crap. For Sam Levinson to sideline Blackpink's Jennie and only give her 3 or 4 lines an episode. How dare him? How dare Sam Levinson? Are you fucking kidding me, guys? Like, you can't, like, when you conflate big issues with small issues.
Okay.
When you have Marlo Stern being like, oh, there was a scene in the script and someone had to have an egg in their vagina. And all this and that. Let me tell you, the reason why there is a scene about an egg in a vagina,
mm-hmm.
is that they make eggs for vaginas. It's a real thing that people really do. Okay. Yeah. So it's like when Paltrow people judge them, like, it's just like people actually do this. Stop being so puritanical. Like, it's bullshit.
Okay.
Some women like it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to watch the show.
Right. Okay, so for the counterpoint, I understand why he tweets that out because you may not know this as the crotchety old man you are, but Blackpink is pretty fucking massive all over the world. And if she is coming into acting, you want to have someone with this kind of reputation and following. What, if you want your show to succeed, you want to give her something more significant to do so that those fans come in and enjoy what you're creating and enjoy your show. Now, to count, which is whether he should have tweeted or not is a different conversation, but I understand the net of why he did it. Now, the other side of this thing is that we have seen men do their sexual fantasies on these fucking shows since the dawn of this goddamn city and this goddamn business. Why do we need yet another show where two dudes are jacking off to the content they're creating on screen and throwing their manhood around and hiding behind? You some women like it. That's so. Some women like everything. You can make any kind of show and say some women like it, for God's sakes. It's a cop out. Do something more groundbreaking and trailblazing.
How do you know it's not groundbreaking or trailblazing? It actually looks like a super fucking groundbreaking and trailblazing show. No one's seen the show. So that's my number one pet peeve.
I'm taking the word of 13 crew members over you and I right now. Let me ask you,
who gives a shit what the crew members think?
Oh my God.
Shit. They worked on it. They read scripts. That's not even, the scripts have changed. The shit isn't even in the final cut, which they haven't seen. They don't, like, who cares?
Okay.
They worked on the show, so they know better than the rest of us. And what do my values have to do with theirs?
Okay.
Don't watch the show if it's not for you. The thing is, HBO is betting a lot of money that it's going to be for a lot of people. And we will find out when the show comes out if a lot of people watch it. If a lot of people reject it, I will eat my shoe, John. But I think it's going to be the hottest fucking show on TV.
Okay. And that's because men watch this kind of stuff. That's the thing, Jeff. Just because it's the hottest show on television and taking advantage of dudes' secret desires to see these beautiful women
who's being taken advantage of? Let me ask you. Did any cast members say that they felt exploited?
No, you're right. Fair point. Okay, fair point. Yeah, Lily Rose Depp came out and said that he's one of the best directors she's ever worked with and what have you. But
the crew members, John, the crew members feel like she's being exploited and they know better than her.
Well, that's their opinion, and I think they're allowed to express it. Last I checked, the
it doesn't First make Amendment. News. It's news when Lily fucking Rose Depp says, "I feel exploited. I feel like I was taken advantage of it on this show, and that they reshot scenes to get more shots of me naked." That's one thing. When it's some fucking production assistant, who gives a shit?
Well, didn't Sydney Sweeney come out and say she doesn't want to do any more nude scenes in Euphoria or lessen the number
of
nude
scenes? And what happened? And what did it say in that article when she said that? What was the response from Sam Levinson?
He's going to do that.
He said exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
why hasn't he responded to this report though, Jeff? Why do we have The Weeknd dropping a passive aggressive clip from the fucking show, which was a stupid decision on his part? Why do we have him doing that when a better, more measured response to it is, I understand people's criticisms. Please don't judge it till you see the show. A lot of stuff gets written and thrown out. We're in the creative process. Y'all know that.
Say that should be self-evident. If I was The Weeknd, I would have said, "You're all fucking morons criticizing a show that none of you have seen."
Okay.
I mean, like if I can't be mad at The Weeknd. I'd be upset if I was him too. Like, what the fuck?
No, guys. Of course, Abel cares. Abel Tesfaye would care if nobody bought his shit, so he does care.
Well, let's see.
It's cool to not care. Every artist fucking cares. I don't care what they do in an interview. Wear sunglasses, smoke a cigar, talk slowly, don't say anything, sit there and brood. Every fucking artist cares whether you like their content or not. Don't let them fool you with that bullshit.
Every great artist doesn't give a fuck whether you like their content.
Not true. Sinatra cared. Elvis cared. The Beatles cared. They all fucking care. Brando fucking cared. No matter what he told people, Brando cared. So... you're not an artist. You don't know. Artists care, no matter what they fucking show you in their interviews. To me, it's about the idea that this sounds like a toxic workplace, and that's what they were talking about, and that's what they were exposing. So you're right. We'll see when this thing comes out, what it looks like, and what the reaction is.
It didn't sound
if
like
we're getting a bunch of male rape fantasies for a bunch of episodes.
This is a fictional show that they're talking about. There wasn't anything about a toxic environment. No one got hurt. No one was sexually harassed. They're watching fictional shit happen to fictional people, and they're freaking out about it. Maybe you shouldn't be working on that show.
Well, maybe. But here's the other side. If you can't handle
the content of the idol, go get another job or close your fucking eyes or something. Maybe. Like, shut the fuck up.
Why are you telling them to shut the fuck up? They have no right to express their issues with the show. Come on. It's a different time now, man. People are allowed to express their issues with these things, Jeff.
And we'll see. Express them all you want. I don't have to give a shit as a viewer. I'm not going to feel guilty when I watch it. And it's going to be a huge fucking show. And half the people who are bitching about it this week are going to watch it too. Because Sam Levinson knows this is going to sound ugly. He knows what you want. Even if you can't admit it to yourself.
Maybe. Certainly with Euphoria, he has proved that over those first two seasons. It's garnered critical acclaim, views, HBO's respect, and awards. So, you know, you gotta look at the track record here of Sam Levinson. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens for sure in that situation. Let's see. Micah says, it's official. Aziz Ansari's film Being Mortal has been scrapped and won't be finished following the Bill Murray allegations. Jeff, is that true? I didn't see that. Have you seen that?
It was part of a Puck report. Basically, they said Aziz is actually co-writing a new movie with Seth Rogen.
Oh, okay. This was a couple days ago.
Right? He couldn't really find anybody to pick up Being Mortal. He could always revisit Being Mortal, you know, down the line, especially if this Seth Rogen movie gets made and becomes a hit or whatever, and everybody wants to be in the Aziz business. Maybe he revisits it. Maybe the Bill Murray stuff's died down by now and they finish filming it, or maybe they just recast Bill Murray and start from scratch. Who knows? But it doesn't sound, if I was a betting man, I would be surprised if it was ever revisited.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. Lee Mobai says, Sam Levinson will be so lucky if this is hit. Euphoria is lightning in a bottle, in my opinion. Right? I mean, look, is The Weeknd going to put, you just said, does Chris Pine put butts in seats? Is The Weeknd going to put eyes on this television? I don't know. I got a lot of concerns and questions. Lily Rose Depp, do you think that's putting butts in seats?
Oh, my God.
I got questions. Zendaya sells. but do these people sell? I don't know.
Let me tell you what's fucking sells, okay? They could have had fucking Bert and Ernie and Elmo in that fucking trailer, okay? It was about the feel of it. It felt gritty. It felt gross. It felt like something I shouldn't be watching, okay? Right. From the gutters of Hollywood comes the sleaziest love story of all time. Who the fuck wouldn't want to watch that? Who cares who's in it? Who cares if it's Lily Rose Depp or fucking Jimmy Bob Creek? Who fucking cares? I want to watch that.
Okay. See what happens. Peter says the clip the weekend put looked like a scene from Popstar. Yeah, that clip did not look good. You know, I mean, the idea of two Instagram people not wanting to be on the cover of a magazine. Yeah, right. Love Dagerborn says in an interview, Taron Egerton was asked about Bond and he says, yeah, I mean, I think they've already got someone and it's not me. Sounds like he's heard who's going to take over the role. Yeah, a lot of people felt that this might be his kind of crafty allusion to Aaron Taylor Johnson. What do you think about this, Joe? Is it true?
Yes, I think Aaron Taylor Johnson is probably Bond.
Interesting choice, Aaron Taylor Johnson. All right, there you go. And one more here, Smithy.
I haven't talked to Babs, but yeah, that's what it feels like.
To the broccolis. Smithy here says, hi, Jeff and John. Either of you heard of a doc called Film, The Living Record of Our Memory? I just saw a trailer for it yesterday. It features a shot of my hands making a splice. That's right. My hands are famous. Did you see it? If not, I'm disappointed. No, I haven't even heard of this thing. Have you heard of this thing? The film, The Living Record of Our Memory.
Congratulations on being in a movie. That's exciting.
Yeah, that's good. Congratulations, Smithy. All right, let me get you some quick bits. Or actually, let's take a quick break, Jeff, and we'll hit some quick bits and get on out of here. All right? You have time?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, y'all. All right, we'll get to our Creed review in just a second, but I want to get Jeff's thoughts on these real quick. True Detective creator Nick Pizzolatto sets a Western at Amazon. Westerns are becoming a thing. Have I put away the hat too early, Jeff? Do I need to bring the hat out of the closet and become the outlaw again and have an outlaw show covering Westerns on this channel?
Yeah, Westerns are back, dude. Everybody wants their piece of the Yellowstone pie. I think Nick Pizzolatto is an interesting choice to sort of be the guy who tries to deliver that.
Yeah.
And listen, I think he's, if nothing else, an interesting writer, and I will probably check it out.
Okay. All right. It's being described as a tradition of ensemble Westerns where larger-than-life characters rob, con, and outsmart each other. It revolves around a former outlaw who must reckon with a threat from his past in order to keep the life and family he has worked so hard to build. Well, the threat from my past is now the co-host on my show, on this show. So there we go. Hellboy, we got casting here. Jack Casey was cast here in this new Hellboy film or series. Film. Do we like this idea? Do we like him? Have you seen him in anything? What's your thoughts on this?
This is like a bottom of the barrel. Like, why are we even making these movies at this point? It probably has to do with something with like holding onto the rights or something. It just, no. I saw that today. I was like, wow, we are really scraping the bottom of the barrel there.
I'm not really, I don't trust Millennium Media with a lot of stuff, but yeah, we'll see. It's set in the 1950s and finds Hellboy stranded in rural Appalachia. Okay.
Sounds like it's going to cost about as much as my shoes.
I should call it Hellboy Talking. Michael P. O'Leary has been tapped to head the National Association of Theater Owners. Does this matter? What's your thoughts on this? What do you think of this?
Wait, what was the question? I got distracted by Frosty the Snowman saying, Jeff, it's been a while since I've seen you. You had hair last time. The hair's still there, I swear. It's just, I have a big forehead.
Calm down, Frosty. Calm down. Michael P. O'Leary has been tapped to head the National Association of Theater Owners. He succeeds longtime NATO president, CEO John Fithian. Is this going to change anything? Theaters are struggling. Situations are happening. What do you think of this, Jeff? Does it matter?
No. Next. Okay.
Just wanted to ask about it. This is going to be interesting. Donnie Yen did an interview about John Wick 4, and he said that he pushed back on the Asian stereotypes he saw in the script. He said, why can't we have a normal name? His name was Shang or Chang, he said in this GQ interview. Why does he always have to be called Shang or Chang? Why can't he have a normal name? Which is weird to me to say that's a normal name. That isn't a normal name. But they named him Kane. Why do we have to be so generic? He said, why is everything so generic? So he petitioned Chad Stahelski to change the character's name, which they did, to change it to Kane and to give him a different wardrobe that was much more cooler in the world of the John Wick universe, but he also went in to talk about Chirrut Imwe in Rogue One and said, I also changed him because they wrote him as just this stoic Zen master who doesn't smile. And I put jokes in and changed his style and his look. So what do you think about this? Is this the way to kind of hone these stereotypes? These people default to these stereotypes. This is kind of the responsibility of an actor, kind of put his agency forward to change some things. What do you think about this?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds, you know, like Donnie Yen spoke up. I don't really have an issue with a character name change. You may even have a point. I think it's sometimes a shorthand, though, character names. So, like, some writers will include the race of a character in the character description, right? This is an Asian assassin, you know, named Chang. Some don't want to include the race, right? But the race is almost self-evident in the name, right? So if it says Chang on the page, well, it says Chang, go get an Asian actor, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes it's like that. I don't think that there's any offense intended. But I also get, you know, where Donnie Yen's coming from, where it's like, all right, well, we can mix it up. It doesn't need to be Chang or Shang every single time.
Right. Plus, because of the construct of the world of John Wick, everyone's cool. Everyone's got a distinct name. Why not give him a distinct name as well? So it makes sense as well. And I think,
I don't know what makes Chang or Shang not a distinct name, but I guess Kane is a cooler name. So
yeah. Haunted_Adam Autumn says, any word on which projects Mike Flanagan might be tackling at Amazon? Have you heard anything, Jeff, yet?
No, but if, you know, again, we mentioned Poltergeist, like if they were really serious about that and have a deal with Mike Flanagan, I'm not sure if they do or whatever, I forget where he is, but I mean, he seems like a good choice for that kind of material.
Yeah, agreed, 100%. Any new horror films that you want to recommend real quick, speaking of Mike Flanagan, anything you want to recommend that's out or might be coming out on VOD?
There actually is. I do want to recommend a movie that comes out tomorrow. One second, I'm bringing up the list. So this movie comes out tomorrow. It's a movie. It's one of these one word title Sam Worthington movies, right?
Oh, okay.
You normally just skip that, like Sam Worthington straight to VOD, one word title, not checking any good boxes. But it's called Transfusion, and I liked it.
Ooh.
It was directed by this dude Matt Nabel, who's like also co-stars in it, and he's a badass. I Worthington's grown on me, like you know, Under the Banner of Heaven. You know, he's had a couple decent things outside of Avatar. What was the other one? The Unabomber series, right?
Yes, he was great in the Unabomber series.
Great. It's like, I don't know, man. Worthington isn't like the just blank that I think a lot of people thought he was coming out of Avatar. He's kind of interesting, and I liked this B-movie.
Yeah, there's a few of them, right? I think Jai Courtney can act. I think Sam Worthington can act. Eric Bana can act. They just tried to thrust him into the lead roles, and those guys aren't lead role guys. They're much more character actors who are good-looking dudes and can look like leads, but they're not necessarily leads. So you've got to find the right creators who understand how to bring out their talent and put them in right positions, right? I mean, Josh Lucas is one. He couldn't quite make it as a lead, but he's not quite the character actor that these guys are. So it's not the same situation. You know, those three guys can actually really bring some depth and humanity to their characters when they're given the right material. And you're right, he was great in Under the Banner of Heaven. Oh my God, the scenes with him and the actress who plays who was in Rogue One or Andor, they have great interactions throughout that series.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Creed 3. Let's review this thing, Jeff. It's out this weekend. I dropped my non-spoiler review a couple of days ago. I've got an interview with Salinas Leyva, who played the mother of the boxer, the Latino boxer in the movie. That's coming out tomorrow. But what are your thoughts overall on Creed 3? Non-spoiler.
I got to finish my review after I sign off here, because I got to send it in for tomorrow. But it was good. It was good, but it wasn't great.
Right.
It was missing something. I found the final match to be a little anticlimactic.
Yeah.
But it, you know, as a first film, it was good. You know, I'll give Michael Jordan his due.
Yeah.
And Majors was just amazing.
Dude. He is the new Daniel Day-Lewis. I'm telling you right now. You know, I don't know if you remember in 2019 when we were at Collider, we had to do our top five films of the year. And in my top five was The Last Black Man in San Francisco because of Jonathan Majors' performance. And the film overall was great, but he was damn good. Feige name dropped that film recently, talking about why they looked at him for Kang, and to see what he's doing now in all these roles, and especially with his character of Damien in Creed 3, This is a master actor that we are catching on the ascendancy to his place as one of the greats on the mountaintop there of acting. He is just, he does with an antagonist role, he brings so much interesting life and nuance to it that you rarely see from the antagonist role in a Rocky slash Adonis Creed movie. So it was incredible to have his energy being a part of it. It was almost a little bit element of Coogler in here once again in the third movie, which I think was kind of missing in the second movie. But I agree with you. It's better than the second one. It's not as good as the first Creed. And some things happen a little too conveniently for the overall plot. And I know it's a Rocky slash Adonis Creed movie. And I think the thing you're missing, and I hate to say this, is Sylvester Stallone. You need that little thing there to balance out what's going on. Because it's very clear from this movie that it is now the Adonis Creed franchise. Very much about the Adonis Creed exploration. Very much commentary on what happens to young black men in our society. It has, I think Rocky's mentioned once, if at all, in the movie. And that's the path they're walking down. And I think you need that Stallone element. Even the training sequence isn't as magical as we've seen before in other Rocky slash Creed films. And it might just be they're missing a little Stallone, that little peppering of Stallone in this movie that'll take it over the top.
I think it's worth, you know, checking out on the big screen, if only to see how great Jonathan Majors is in this movie. Yeah. And I like that it did try to do something different, but again, part of the appeal of these movies is like you kind of know what you're getting and you want more of the same. And I miss Stallone.
Yeah. And you feel it. You feel it in the movie for sure. Wiley tosses Roka and Jeff. That Creed 3 needle drop at the beginning was amazing. I agree. The montage was bad. And I agree with Jeff saying it. The final fight was flat. Plus, there were plot holes. Yeah, there were some plot holes. Certain things happen that if you're a fan of boxing or if you know about boxing, you'd be like, that would never happen. But the way they're going about it, I thought it was a good feature film debut for Michael B. Jordan. And that final fight has all the anime influences. So if you're an anime person, I think you're going to enjoy the shit out of that final fight for sure. All right, where are we off to next here, Jeff? Well, anything else you want to jump in and talk about?
Was there anything else?
I thought we had something on the list here for us. MGM, Superhero Scoops, Hellboy, Dune series. Idol controversy.
New Lord of the Rings movies?
Huh?
New Lord of the Rings movies? Or
no, we talked about that last week or 2 weeks ago when that happened. Is there a certain thing that you have you seen 65? A lot of people were mentioning that you might have seen 65. Have you?
No, I haven't seen 65.
Okay, all right. Some people were mentioning that you might have seen 65.
Is that what people mention? They speculate over the movies that I've seen. I haven't even been invited to see 65.
All right, real quick. Scream 6, have you gotten your screening invite yet?
I did, yeah. I'm seeing it, I think, Tuesday night.
Yeah, Tuesday night, correct. Star Trek Discovery ending after season 5. Does this matter to you at all?
Don't know. I've lost track of all the Star Trek shows. It seems like there's a lot of them.
Are you watching Poker Face? There's a new episode tonight.
Poker Face is amazing. We have a interview up to right now on AboveTheLine.com with Nora Zuckerman, the showrunner.
Nice.
The show is fantastic. It's way better than both the Knives Out movies. If you disagree with me, you're insane.
Haunted Mansion trailer. Did you see this?
They should have sent that thing straight to Disney Plus, it looks like.
How dare you?
I mean, it looks okay, but like as a theatrical thing, I don't know. It seems like a Disney Plus movie.
The Arnold Schwarzenegger trailer for Netflix, in or out?
I think I maybe started watching it and I don't remember. What is it?
Peter Pan and Wendy. Did you watch that trailer?
I did watch that one. How many times are we going to do this movie? I mean, right. And again, what is the incentive to go see that? Like
a new generation. That's why.
A new generation.
I'm just saying. That's why they keep redoing these things. Because a whole new generation of kids grow up.
That was Jude Law as Captain Hook.
Yeah, unrecognizable. I thought it was Jason Isaacs again. Succession's final season trailer. Did you see it?
No, don't. I don't watch Succession.
Okay, all right. Ted Lasso's trailer, season 3. Any thoughts?
Didn't watch the trailer. Prefer to be surprised. I really like Ted Lasso, so I'd rather not.
All right. One last thing. Can I talk you into Agent Elvis on Netflix with Matthew McConaughey as Elvis Presley? and an animated series with a talking monkey. Have I talked you into it yet?
Life is too short. I just finished the Waco series that Tiller Russell did. He did
the Netflix one?
Yeah, the documentary series. It's three episodes. It was good.
Have we seen most of it already, though?
I mean, you know the story. Like, obviously, there's been a lot of Waco stuff.
Yeah. But
there was some new stuff, and I like the third part was emotional. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I have a bunch of movies to ask you about. Wait,
go ahead.
Or trailers. Like, did you see the trailer for How to Blow Up a Pipeline that came out today?
I did. Interesting.
Yeah, dude, that's a good movie.
I don't know who's gonna see it though, Jeff. But yes, it looks like a good movie.
Did you see the Sisu trailer?
I did not see the Vengeance trailer. Everyone said that you got to watch. I have not watched that one.
It's awesome.
Going after Nazis. I haven't seen that one yet.
Mike
Joyce wants to know if you saw 80 for Brady finally or no.
No, I did not. All right, two recommendations that are streaming right now.
Bring
Sharper.
It.
Did you watch Sharper on Apple TV?
What was that?
It's like a Julianne Moore con man movie.
Oh no, I haven't seen this.
I would recommend that.
Prime?
No, it's on Apple.
Okay. All right.
Julianne Moore, John Lithgow, Sebastian Stan.
Oh, I did see the trailer for this. So it's good. You like it?
I liked it.
Okay.
And I also liked Bruiser on Hulu. Did you watch that?
No. What is that?
Rhodes, Trevante Rhodes and Shamir Anderson. And
okay.
It's the kid from Till, Jalen Hall. Okay. Jalen Webb. I always forget if it's Jalen Hall or Jalen Webb.
Okay.
Anyways, that's on Hulu. That's a recommendation. I think you'd like that movie, John.
All right. I'll put it on the list. I always like to put things that you recommend on the list so I can watch this stuff. All right.
I'm going to watch 80 for Brady with Roxy.
Are you going to, though? You always say that, and then you don't. Did you see The Consultant?
Yes.
The Christoph Waltz one?
Yeah, I watched that like 6 weeks ago, though.
It just dropped. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. I liked the pilot. Like, I was intrigued. But if I had to, like, give a recommendation, I would say it's not worth it. I kind of went nowhere. I didn't really enjoy it.
Yeah. I felt that way about Hello Tomorrow. It kind of lost me after the second or third episode.
That didn't look good. Did you watch We Have a Ghost?
I haven't seen that one yet.
Netflix?
What's the drama around that? Some people are saying that film went woke or whatever. What's the drama around that film? What are people saying?
I don't. Who can keep track, dude? People get outraged over every little thing online. Come on, it's disgusting out there.
Let's see what else. Oh, I know you're not watching Bel Air, The Reluctant Traveler with Eugene Levy. Are you even giving that a shot?
No.
I know. I think that's everything, Jeff. We should get out of here. I don't think anything else is broken or gotten big.
Next week we'll do some Oscar picks, Johnny.
Oof. A lot of people are starting to feel like that Jamie Lee Curtis. I saw Clayton Davis's tweet that Jamie Lee Curtis might be now all of a sudden the odds on favor to win Best Supporting Actress.
What have I been saying?
Will set the town on fire.
I don't think it's going to be either one of them. I think it's going to be Carrie Condon.
Really? Well, yeah. I just read the new Ringer article on her, which I thought was really great, breaking her down. So it's fantastic.
We'll see. Anything could happen at these Oscars, but that's all I want to hear. I can say, anything can happen. I want to hear an Everything All at Once fan say anything.
Oh, shit. How can we not talk about this? Real quick, Jeff. The Donnie Wahlberg controversy. Do you have thoughts on this as a Boston boy? Mark Wahlberg controversy at SAG. People were saying they were upset that he gave the award out to the cast of Everything Everywhere All at Once, considering how he had attacked two Asian gentlemen, had blinded one when he was 16 years old. There was a lot of reaction to it on social media. What did you think about it? Do you think there's much to do about nothing, or do you think this was a legitimate beef for people to have about this situation?
Legitimate beef. How can we allow people in this country to change and grow? That's not allowed. You have to be exactly what you were at all times. He hated Asians back then. He doesn't get to love them now. This is insane. It's insanity to me.
Yeah, I understood why people were upset, but I also see the other side of it. I can fall on one side or the other an issue, but for me, this is more about, well, he's apologized for it multiple times. He did his time. He paid the fine. Yes, it was pretty terrible, but he can only be convicted of what he was convicted of, and he did his time. And ever since then, he has not done any of these things since. And he didn't know that Everything Everywhere All at Once was going to win. So it's not like they staged it so that he would be the one presenting it. Some kind of...
You are so fucking stupid, John. Can we just say that? Can we just say that?
Yes, yes. And also the Aubrey Plaza controversy was ridiculous, y'all. Because I have connections to people in the SAG organization. The idea that Aubrey Plaza was being... Yes, she was. John Grease was trying to pull her closer. She was kind of pushed out of the way a little bit there. But F. Murray Abraham was always going to speak for them. They have to tell the producers who is going to speak for the cast. So F. was always going to speak. It was never going to be Aubrey. So that whole thing where they fabricated that they shoved Aubrey to the back so she wouldn't speak is nonsense and not true. So this is how award shows work, y'all.
You're introducing me to controversies. I'm not even aware happened. Yeah, you had a problem with who accepted the award. People just fucking complain about everything. I realize that is our whole podcast here. That's what we do. Is just
well,
they can just complain about stupid shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to think we analyze this stuff more than complain.
Mark Wahlberg is allowed to interact with Asians and give them awards, you know, like,
yeah.
Holy shit. It's not like he got an award with them.
I like this. F. Murray or kill. I like that. That's good. That's really
that
good.
That could be a streaming show. If only Quibi was still around.
Oh, God. God help us all. All right, let's get out of here. You guys are amazing. Cheyenne said, love you all. Are Sony done with previous Spider-Man and their extended universes? Who can say? Who can say? You never know. All right, let's get out of here. Thank you all so much for joining us here on the Hot Mic. We appreciate all your Streamlabs and Super Chats. Please remember to subscribe to the channel right now. 450 of you still watching right now. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that bell button. You know, I want to get to 50,000 subscribers by the end of the year. Help me do that. Jeff, another fun show. Where can they find you and everything going on, brother?
OfTheLine.com, BTLNews.com, LAMag.com.
There you go. As for me, at The Roka Says on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, The Outlaw Nation on Twitch. Look for a lot of content dropping over the next few days. Going to have some fun with Creed 3 coming out as well. So look for all of that there. The two Mandalorian reviews are up. The one I did with Laura Kelly for Jedi Way and the one I did for The Geek Buddy. So go and watch that if you saw the first episode of Season 3. And my Creed interview with Celeste Leva is coming out tomorrow morning. Look for that. And don't forget the Geek Buddies, a main show tomorrow as well. All right. Well, you guys are the greatest. We love you madly. And we'll talk to you next time with another brand new episode. Oh, and big shout out to AboveTheLine.com, who continues to power and sponsor us. Head
guys,
on over there.
The Geek Buddies. They're buddies and they're geeks.
You know what? I'm going to kick you in the nuts. All right. Take care. Bye.